21. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 21. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Our subject this morning will revolve more or less around three words that are found in this verse. And they are these. If I may. If I may. When our Lord was here upon earth, he was constantly encompassed about the crowds, apart from those seasons of retirement on the mountain or in other private places where he held communion with his Father. And it was in that communion with his Father that he found his daily strength and support for all that so took place through the ensuing day. And we see the crowds as they so press upon him. And yet what a difference betwixt them and certain characters who, like this woman, was enabled to touch him with the finger of faith. There are so many that may be healed of divers sicknesses and so forth, even according to that word which was spoken concerning him, himself took our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. Many may be the recipients of those blessings, and yet have no interest whatsoever in that which was relative unto his declared purpose and mission for which he had come into this world, so to save sinners. Think of the many who so surrounded him when he was down here. Think of the things that brought forth their wonder and their astonishment by reason of the effect both of his word and of his touch. Think of the ingratitude of so many of those characters that when he came toward the end of his life, they are come down to a very, very few who are desirous of acknowledging that wherein he had indeed done all things well. They received of those blessings which they had sought of him for their own selfish enjoyment. Self, not Christ, was at the back of so many efforts in which they so were found engaged to obtain those blessings from him. How important it is for us to examine ourselves relative unto our own seekings after him, as to whether it is simply a matter of self at the bottom of it, or as to whether he is the chief aim and desire of the soul. Yes, many may go after him for the loaves and fishes, but few are they that know what it is to labor for that bread which is unto eternal life. Now we divide ourselves this morning and we ask ourselves where we stand in this matter. What is at the bottom of all that which relates to our religion? Is it self? Or is it Christ? be that wherein we seek these blessings simply for our own carnal enjoyment and enrichment? Or is it that in the blessings that we receive from him, they may be laid out to his glory and to his honor? Oh, when we look at the circumstances concerning these things, we realize that there is one difference, whereby the separation is so plain. And what is it? It is that wherein the gift of faith is so bestowed within a sinner's heart. He either comes in faith or not. My dear hearer, it is unto them, the few, that Christ, when he was here on earth, so declared, "Go in peace, thy faith hath made thee whole, thy faith have saved thee." Yes, thy faith in the outworking of that wherein God is the original desire of the heart. Now you know this incident which is brought before us in connection with this woman is recorded by Matthew and Mark and by Luke. You will not find that there are many incidents connected with the life of our Lord when he was here upon earth that are recorded by the three of them. But in this one, they are all united. They have all been led by the Holy Spirit in so writing of the life of our Lord to make mention of this woman. Yes, Mark has many incidents that are not recorded by Matthew or Luke. Luke tells us of things that happened in the life of our Lord that Matthew and Mark are entirely silent concerning. The Holy Ghost, my dear hearer, is invaluable. And the Holy Ghost has a supreme purpose in that wherein he doth so direct those whom he is instructing concerning the life and the person and the glory of Jesus as to what they were to record concerning him. So there is no doubt that there is some special point to be brought home unto our souls by reason of that wherein the Holy Ghost has so designed this. Yes, is it not because God, who so sees the state and the need of every one of his own, saw in this one woman a company, a number whom she represented, a number who would come like her, wordless, having nothing to say, seemingly coming without prayer, yet inwardly all the while praying, all the while desiring, all the way coming in some confidence, and all the way pressing toward the mark until that which she desired is so granted unto her. Yes, it's all in action, not in word. The only word that we have concerning this woman in pressing toward her Lord is that which is recorded by Matthew and Mark, who express it in the language that we have read in the whole verse. She said within herself. She didn't say it publicly. We're not even told that she sought for the Lord concerning it. But she had a confidence inwardly that if she could but get nigh unto him and touch him, all would be well, so far as she was concerned. There are many that may not be able to say much. Some people always have religion upon their tongue, but they have none in the heart. This woman had that which was relative to true faith in her heart. And it was a faith that worked. It wasn't that nature of faith without works. It was that faith that so propelled not only the desire, but propelled her feet so to attain unto the obtaining of the cure. But I want you to notice another thing. Not only is this set before us by the Holy Spirit in a triple state, but we must ever bear in mind that Matthew is writing unto the Jews, that Mark was raised up so to write unto the Romans, and that Luke had been raised up to write unto the Gentiles, while John has his message toward the church. But this is what I want you to bear in mind. Who are these that are recording this event? They are declaring it unto the Jews. They are declaring it unto the Romans. They are declaring it unto the Gentiles. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter what color or nature, bringing up and so forth you may be. Everything that relates unto those characters who enter into this singular condition and state are all one in Christ Jesus. There is no division amongst them. That is the wonder of the gospel. It is without distinction relative unto that wherein it is to be proclaimed, for it is to be proclaimed unto all men, even unto the ends of the earth. And out of all nations there shall be the gathering in of a countless number, who shall hear by faith that which is so spoken not only in their ears, but which worketh powerfully within their hearts, like it did within this woman. Yes, I'm glad that is so set forth before us. Would to God that we read the scriptures more diligently and sought after that wherein these things are so blessedly opened up to us by the Holy Ghost. Ah, says one, but you see I belong to such and such a people. And another one says, but you see what my condition is in life. Well, the gospel doesn't take any notice of those things. Matthew may be sitting at the receipt of custom. Other men may be blind. Oh no, there's no distinction so far as Christ is concerned in the communication of that glorious cure which he in himself possesses, that all who come unto him may indeed take freely. Let us note another fact here. Have you seen the connection of our text? We've been reading about a little girl. We've been reading too of this woman. Did you notice the similarity that so comes before you? How old was that little girl? 12 years old. How long has this woman possessed this malady? 12 years. Age is as nothing in his sight. It isn't in that which pertains unto the natural age. There is nothing impossible with him. That which is relative unto the cure is as perfect in the one case as it shall be in the other. Did one say, oh well, I'm very young, I don't think these things can possibly be for me, because when I hear others talk, why, it seems so mysterious and strange and so spiritual, and I cannot, as it were, rise up to it. Well, my dear, here you think of the little girl. What did she know about these things? Nothing. And yet the Lord came, and he brought into her life He raised her from the dead. Here is this woman. What did she know about Jesus? Well, she'd heard about him. And you may be sure that she hadn't heard to the full and to perfection all that was relative unto his glory and his wonder. But you see, the little that she heard was sufficient to bring her to him. Oh, it isn't in the quantity. It's in the quality. It's in that wherein true and living faith possesses their hearts. This is that which is going to overcome everything else. Because the author and the finisher of that faith is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we bless God that even if we feel that we are but babes in grace, even if we know what it is to be a child or a young man or a father, nevertheless, they all come to the same point, to that which ye have heard from the beginning. Yes, and who is that glorious person, that gracious theme that is so proclaimed unto us all through the ages? But he who is the Savior. Yea, because they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If I may, let us look at one other factor that stands out, as it were, in this chapter. Behold the workings of faith. We have here degrees of faith. But the origin of that faith, in whatever degree it may show itself, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us see it in this light in regard to them all. Where there is this faith within the heart, it looks to Jesus. They may not be able to discern him very clearly. It may be that there is a crowd about that you cannot, as it were, get a clear view of him. So many things, as it were, seem to come in between. But nevertheless, there is a faith that is looking to him through all. And in that faith that looketh to him through all, is going to bring you through all. Look at it in that which related unto the one who was sick of a palsy. And look at the one who was sitting at the seat of custom. And look at the one who was a little girl, and look at the woman in the text. And then go down and look at the blind men, and even see one who was possessed with a devil. Oh, mighty hearer, what is the view that you possess? You look into self? Are you looking to any other source for the cure? Then, my friend, you're going to be terribly disappointed and find that the last that you have come terribly short. There is only one to whom a poor sinner is to look to, and can look to, and they are all taught that lesson, and that is to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. I can see that man, as it were, sick of the palsy, and I can see his eyes looking up unto Jesus. He's heard a wonderful statement. He's heard a glorious truth: thy sins be forgiven thee. My friend, in looking unto him, he was to realize eventually that wherein the work of faith did great exploits in Jesus' name. Take up thy bed and walk. And he did. You can see those blind men. Has it ever occurred to you as to how they ever found him in the house? They came to him in the house. How did they find his whereabouts? How were they able to direct their feet into his presence? Why, my friend, in faith, there is, as it were, a most mystic instinct. There is something that is drawing. Something, as it were, that in spite of yourself, nevertheless, brings you. And you know, we think of the language of our Lord when he said, "Everyone that the Father giveth me shall come to me." And why? Because every man that hath heard and hath learned of the Father. Yet, what is the result? He is drawn unto him. Drawn by the Father in the glorious person of Jesus Christ. Oh, the spirit of faith within the soul knows how to find him and where to find him, and eventually is lost in sight. Yes, faith looks to him, faith applies to him. If you've got a true faith within your heart, it'll go to him. It won't go to your fellow man. You'll find them to be but broken reeds if you attempt to lean upon them. No, you'll be separated by the faith of God's elect unto that glorious person and him alone, who can indeed do for you what none other can ever do. Oh, you'll apply unto him. What about those night watches when on your bed you may be restless? Does your faith then, as it were, make its application unto him? When you are busy about your day's duties, when there are certain problems that require solution and you don't know quite how to work matters out, do you know what it is for faith to apply unto him? Oh, my friend, if you were to talk to your fellow men about that, they would think you were absolutely gone out of your minds. And if you were to talk to many Christians about having restless nights by reason of this faith in the work of application unto him, they would profess that they are utter strangers to it. But you know, faith will be continually exercising your heart to apply unto him. And you know, faith not only applies to him, but faith receives from him. You see, this woman saw him. This woman applied unto him. And she received from him. She wasn't disappointed. True, she would, as it were, have gone away with the blessing unperceived. But you know, that's dishonoring her Lord. And the Lord would not have it. And he called her to account. And it is only in that wherein the testification of that which has been received of him by faith, that that word is then uttered, daughter. The word of affection and endearment, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And as Mark puts it, he puts in a little piece there that Matthew doesn't. He said, the master said, go in peace. I love that little bit. Because when I look at this woman, I see so much of myself in her. Oh, what a struggling time we have. How we have to struggle against flesh and blood. How we have to struggle against our souls. How we have to struggle against all the torments that may come into our minds as to whether after all we shall ever be successful in our quest after him. Yea, struggling because of the fears and the doubts that so assault us continually were the devil that is ever ready to buffet us, like even those who were in the crowd, no doubt, buffeted that poor woman as she made her way through it. Oh, yes, we find that it is a struggle. It isn't all placid and easy as some people would have us to think. Oh, when you become a Christian, they say, everything will so lie that you'll be continually happy and peaceful. You find it like that? Don't you find that, like this poor woman, you've got to do a lot of pressing through the throng? Yes, you've got your eye on Jesus and you're applying to him. But you know, if you're going to receive from him, you've got to touch him. And he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yes, this woman said in her heart, what she said in her heart, oh yes, it's going to be written for their instruction. Did she tell the disciples what she had said within her heart? We know not. But he searching out all the secrets of the heart can so easily record in his own divine truth that which is relative to what is commendable in his divine sight. And the woman said, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. There is then first here an inference. And the inference is in the word if. If. You see, this woman knew that all that she needed was to be found in Jesus. What she had heard concerning him had not gone past her ear. No. It had lodged in her heart. And when she heard, and she acted upon what she heard. How many there are who hear the gospel and may have heard it all their lives and have never known its activating power within their hearts. They have never known it to take them a step nearer to Jesus. They have never known what it is to be incited by the word with a desire after holiness and righteousness. They have never realized within their own heart that wherein the truth is indeed to be sought and to be revealed. No. They don't feel the effect of the word. But when you hear the word, and you hear that wherein Jesus is set forth before you, and we preach Christ crucified, and we declare that in him is the glory of God so revealed unto his own, then if God commandeth the message concerning you, then he shines into your heart and he shows you your need of that which is in Jesus. Oh, it's a lovely thing, isn't it? When you see, as it were, a child in its distress with the tears rolling down its face, tapping along as fast as it can, as it were, to the comfort of his father's arms. Ah, if he can only get there, the little toddler will feel safe and secure. And isn't that with you, the commencement of your own life in your soul? Yes, they come with weeping and with supplication. You come in your heart, as it were, before you ever give any vent to it with your lips. There is one thing that you are very sure of, one thing that nothing can shake you out of, that everything that your poor soul needs is in him. Yes, she declares that that which was relative unto her case could not be met from any other source but from him. She had gone to others. They'd only brought about the result that she was rather worse than better. She had only known what it was to be impoverished by their demands upon her. And haven't you found, as it were, soul poverty? Haven't you found that instead of getting better as you have wished, you have been getting worse? You know, there's one thing I'm sure of, that the more you advance in life, and the more you know of that wherein grace abounds, the more you are taught deeply in your soul of your own wretched condition, of your vileness, of your unworthiness, of the sins which you know so constantly come up before you, the things that you thought you had buried long ago. Oh yes, cemented the top of it. You have, as it were, so made a cement covering which you have hoped would never permit them to rise again, and yet they come and they stand before you. Yes, no hope from anybody else. You only find that where you have sought it, it resulted in poverty and wretchedness and misery. My dear, here are the most saintly character. You may go to them and you may learn of them that wherein the Lord has graciously dealt with them, but that won't suffice for you. It must be your own experience. It must be that which has been quickened in your own soul by the Holy Ghost. It is in that wherein Jesus has been made the one thing needful. It is that wherein God has directed the eye of your soul singly and wholly unto him. Don't mistake me. Don't think I'm saying there's nothing profitable in so speaking one with another of the great things that God hath done for you. What I'm telling you is this, that in your seeking after him, have no confidence upon any but that which he is pleased so to make known concerning himself in and through his word. If everything's in him, then to him thou must go, and no other source. Yes, and even as she is made aware of that, she is conscious that the cure that she wants is obtainable in him, not that. She was confident that it was obtainable, that it wasn't something out of reach, that it wasn't something at a sheer distance to which she could never come. No. When she heard of Jesus, she went after him because she knew that he was near and nigh. When the gospel is preached unto you, we preach unto you a precious Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the one who is always nigh unto his people in his word. The one who is always ready to verify every promise and every invitation that he so communicateth unto this soul that is set apart in its pursuit after him. Yes, she knew that it was obtainable, and she knew that he would respond unto her touch. If I may but touch his garment, I shall behold. Yes, even if that language that is going on within our heart may, as it were, be under pressure, It may be that wherein there has been a questioning and a conjecturing about many things, yet nevertheless, she's sure of this, that if she gets to him, if she knows what it is to lift her weak finger and to touch him, then all that she needs will be fully supplied. Have you that faith? Do you believe that? You know, it's because so many don't believe it that you find that eventually, after making a profession, they go away and you see them no more. They've gone. In other words, they've never been made whole. But if thou knowest within thine own heart not only that it is obtainable in him, but in that wherein it is obtainable in him, if you can only by that which relates unto the finger of faith touch that which is relative unto the glorious fullness which abides in him, even as he is the God-man, you know that you will have the perfect cure. The perfect cure. In other words, that he will not withhold from you that which is the remedy. He didn't, this woman, did he? Oh, he didn't, as it were, call her out from the crowd that he might bereave her of the blessing that she had obtained. No, he was only going to confirm it. He was only going to verify it, and he was going to have her there to tell all the truth before all the people, that she might testify to his honor and to his glory concerning it. Oh yes, he was not going to withhold from her the remedy. And so we come, not only in the inference that relates to the if in the text, but we come to a question. We're going to revert the words, as it were, for a moment. If I may? May I? May I? May I touch his garment? How many times we may ask that question. May I? For this woman full well knew that it was against the law. She knew that by right she should never have been found in that multitude of people. She knew that she was to the great extent in a position of ostracism. And yet you see how faith dares, how faith ventures. May I? Oh, it isn't simply, as it were, a fact of raising the question, it's a fact of acting upon the sweet compulsion that is inwardly realized that she must come to him. Yes, and not only so, but may I come to him in view of what I know about myself? Well, might the woman have said that? I'm coming against the law, and I know the truth of my own condition. May I come? Perhaps some of you here this morning may be feeling the reality of your condition. And you say, well, put it in another way of speaking, how can I come when I am what I am? Well, I don't wonder then that the Lord has laid down these things in a threefold manner for us, because we are all possessed, as it were, with that feeling, you poor sinners. We look at ourselves, we look inwardly, we get introspective, and then, as it were, we begin to drag out all the past, and we look at all the sins, and we underline them, as it were, and we say, why, this sin of all is enough to damn me. Well, may I come in view of what I know about myself? Not only so, May I come? Yes. How may I come? By that where I shall be continually pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus knew that woman. He knew she was coming. He realized at once the touch. With all the willingness and the greatness and the fullness of his own divine being, there is at once the communication, purifying, cleansing, yes, freely given, no holding back. May I come? Yes, you have the answer. The woman is the answer. She knew in herself what had been done in her. And so she came and she told it in the presence of Jesus. But briefly, here's an assurance, is there not? I may. If I may, yes, I may come exactly as I am, whatever I know about myself, however filthy a sinner I may, know I am in the sight of this pure and this holy God-man, Christ Jesus. There is no bar. But we look and we say, look at this great crowd. See how much there is between me and him. Well, my friend, if you're going to look with carnal reason, then you may well indeed be discouraged and turned back. But if you possess the faith of God's elect, there be no turning back. However great the pressure, however innumerable the discouragements, however many times you may have felt as you have pressed on, I can't go much further because I'm only a poor weak woman. Why, my very disease, as it were, has taken all the strength out of me, has debilitated me. Yea, I am, as it were, only ready to swoon and to fall down, and yet she carries on, she carries on. She fights the good fight of faith. Yes. Do we know the secret of these things? That I may press on? And why? Because she declared in our text, I shall be made whole. What does that mean? It means she saw the blessed essentiality of so possessing that wherein Christ was so set before her. Oh yes, the hand may be feeble that may touch him. The eye may be dim in that wherein it has but a very little vision of him. But when she gets to him, the touch will be effectual. The sight will then be realized to the full in the knowledge of what he has done for thee. She said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Yes, there is an evident fullness in him. And it's my joy to tell you this morning, you who know somewhat of the struggles, the inward wrestlings, the reachings forth after him, and yet possessing within your soul that which must possess him, you must get to him. No, there is no giving up. However the enemies around you may seek to dissuade you from the course. And why? Because a fullness resides in Jesus your head and ever abides to answer your need. Amen.